My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Saturday mornings on The Game. I'm Jason Dumas in with Evan Giddings. Beautiful Saturday morning out in the city. Some of the heat has dissipated. It's a little cloudy, but I have a feeling, Ev, we're going to have a great Saturday. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going to Chase Center for the California Classic. Big names playing. I'm not sure if it's merit-based, but it's headlined by Bronny James. We got to acknowledge him. A lot of people are interested to see how Bronny is going to play. Of course, the next couple hours, we will talk Golden State Warriors. Are you pleased with their move so far? What do they have to do going forward? We will talk California Classic. We'll be all over the place. Ev, how you doing this morning, brother?
Oh, I'm good, man. You happy to be rocking with you yet again. A little bit earlier in the day, though. I feel like we caught that kind of, you know, afternoon, midday crowd from 12 to 4 last couple days. Independence Day, a little bit softer. Now people are actually enjoying and hopefully recovering from the last couple days. And it's interesting you mentioned the California Classic because it feels like we've been waiting for this build, right? Like the whole draft was sort of, I don't know, constructed and advertised. Is just not really that interesting. There wasn't a ton of big players, but Bronny James was the headliner, and now he gets to headline at Chase Center. So it'll be interesting because I think a lot of people are going to watch these games. They're on ESPN, ESPN2, NBA TV, and I just feel like a lot of people are waiting to see if this kid can actually play. Not if he's good, but if he can actually play, because I don't know if we've been sold a false bill of goods. I don't know if this kid is, you know, kind of a reclamation project. Could he get better? Is he just, you know, charity? What is it? And so we actually get to, I feel like, understand a little bit of that answer today.
100%. And for better or for worse, whether he likes it or not, his name is going to be polarizing probably for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He can shut a lot of people up if he comes in and performs. If he comes in and performs, people will probably forget his pathway to the NBA. But if he doesn't perform, it's always going to follow him, for better or for worse. And look, I have a general rule of thumb. I'm not too critical on players who are playing for free. So basically, high school kids and college kids, it's not their profession, it's not their livelihood. You're going to be hard pressed for me to publicly criticize them too heavy, especially like guys like us who actually have a platform and our criticism can affect people. Like, you know, I'm not sitting here and saying, oh man, I'm so influential, but we have people listening to us. We have people seeing our tweets. I try to take it easy on the amateurs, but once you become a professional, you're fair game. So now that Bronny is a pro, I will give my honest takes on him. And it obviously is nothing personal. But ever since he was in high school, I have thought he is a bit overrated. I think his name is bigger than his game. Not a bad player by any means. But take this, for instance. I've always been into high school hoops. I follow high school hoops, especially mm-hmm. Philadelphia high school hoops. But nationally, too. Always have been tapped in. Bronny is McDonald's All-American. McDonald's All-Americans are the 24 best high school prospects in the country. Every now and then, there's a snub. I know sometimes with which AAU circuit you're on and whether you're an Adidas guy, an Under Armour guy, a Nike guy, sometimes you can get a little help getting into that game. But more or less, politics isn't huge in the McDonald's All-American game, Evan. It's usually merit-based. I have seen dozens of McDonald's All-Americans in person over the years as they were playing high school. Every McDonald's All-American that I've ever watched pops out.
Yeah.
You're watching his high school game. You're like, he is head and shoulders better than everybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't even really belong on the same court as
like an adult playing with children.
Yeah. I've seen LeBron, Bronny play in person as well. Did not pop out. Wasn't bad. Good high school player. Not one of the top 24. I think his name helped him get in it. He wasn't even, look, I'm going to be honest with you. He didn't even make first team all league in his conference that he played in high school. And he was a McDonald's All-American. So it started there.
Yeah.
No one's going to make a huge funk out of it. Not a lot of people are paying close enough attention to know if he should or shouldn't have been in the McDonald's All-American game. Is not that big a deal. But people who pay attention or are into high school hoops are like, Then he goes, God bless that he's okay.
Yes.
He goes to USC, has the heart issue, and it derails his college career. Like, that is a perfectly reasonable excuse to have a up and down season, which he did. I'm thinking he comes back, finally has a year.
Or transfers somewhere.
Transfer probably is somewhere where the coach is going to put the ball in his hand. I thought he should have transferred to, I think it's Akron, where LeBron's best friend coaches, Drew Joyce, who was on that St. Vincent St. Mary's team in high school with him. Something's telling me that Drew might have actually taken a job somewhere else. But wherever, I was thinking, Bronny, transfer there is not high major. You're going to have the ball in your hand. You're going to be able to perform. Like, they'll roll the ball out. But, yeah, he went to the NBA, and now I can criticize him as I see fit. And it's just, he's nothing I've seen tells me he's an NBA player.
No, not yet. And that's, it was funny when the report came out that Rich Paul had called teams and told them that if it wasn't the Lakers that he was going to Australia, I thought, that actually might be good for him. You know, like LaMelo Ball played, I think, in Lithuania. I know Brandon Jennings played in Italy before he got drafted. Like, there are players that have played professionally before getting to the NBA.
LaMelo was in Australia.
LaMelo also did play in Australia. That's right. Yeah. So there are players that have gone and played overseas because either they, you know, didn't want to be a part of the college system
or make some more money,
wanted to kind of kickstart their careers and basically challenge themselves. So I thought that'd be a great opportunity.
Right.
But that wasn't ever going to be the case. The other thing that's funny too is like, so understandably, like the heart issue is nothing. That's nothing you can control. And I am willing to believe that certainly did not set a good tone for his season. But generally, in a draft, if something like that happens, okay, your stock falls a little bit. I never heard anybody saying, "Well, Bronny was going to be a first round pick if the heart thing didn't happen, or if he got to start." Like, it wasn't a situation of, well, that was where he was going to go previously, and now he's in the second round. No, he was always going to go in the second round. He was always going to go to the Lakers. And that's why I can't necessarily point my ire at a 19-year-old. And every piece of criticism that I've had surrounding this topic has all been aimed at his dad. It's all been aimed at LeBron, because I feel like LeBron has made it all about playing with his kid as opposed to his kid playing with him. And I think from everything I've seen, too, and read, Bronny appears to be a pretty good kid. Like, he's got a good head on his shoulders. You know, he's confident, but he's not cocky. He understands the situation.
Nice kid.
But and I'm sure we're going to get to hear more from him today. The other part of it, too, Jay, that I'm curious about is, like, how his peers see him. Because that's another part of this, too. Like, you and I can sit up here and critique him all we want. But the moment he gets on the floor, he's got a bullseye on his back.
Yeah.
With actual pros.
Absolutely. And pro basketball is a dog-eat-dog world. Like, these are grown men whose jobs you're fighting to take. So they're going to be ruthless. And, you know, it's just, I agree with you. Like, if I was Bronny, I don't even know if I would want to be in this predicament. like, I would probably be like, I would probably tell teams, don't draft me unless you want me. I don't want no parts about being drafted because of my dad. I would have separated myself because, look, like, we know it's not merit-based. I would not want, now listen, trust me, on the road to my career, anybody offering me any help, a spot, an opportunity, I'm going to take it. But I feel like basketball is extremely niche, and I would want to get it out the mud. I would want it to be a little more organic. But like I said, Bronny has a chance to shut all of us up. If he goes out there and he performs over the next couple of years and develops into a really good basketball player, a really good NBA player, it'll be great. I mean, the odds are against him. I mean, typically 55 pick in the NBA doesn't stick around all that much. Although Patty Mills, he was number 55. But, you know, the odds are against you. The average NBA career isn't that long in general. And it goes down each pick, it goes down. So the odds are already against him. Now all we got to do is roll that ball out and see him play. And now Bronny's not even the only interesting name playing in the California Classic. There's a couple guys I'm looking forward to. We'll get to the Dubs in a second. I guess first, Miami Heat, they have a local guy, Keshad Johnson. He went to San Leandro High School. Graduated from there, played 4 years at San Diego State University, capped off in his fourth year, went to the national championship game with San Diego State University, the Aztec. He was a three-year starter at San Diego State. Then he played his fifth year at University of Arizona. When he committed to University of Arizona, he had Steve Kerr on the phone congratulating him. Andre Iguodala was there at his commitment party. I was there too. So Andre was there, and that was fun. And he had an amazing season for Arizona, and he goes to the Miami Heat. So I know there's going to be a huge contingent of East Oakland in the building. That's where he is. I was at his draft party last week. So I'm excited to see Keshad Johnson play and get his career started. And then, of course, Ev, we got to talk about the Dubs. I will say this. I was thrown off because I was excited. I'm still excited to go watch the Dubs play, of course. And they have a lot of the Santa Cruz Warriors that I covered this year on that roster. But I was excited to see Paz and TJD, too. And then I just realized they're not going to be there. They're in Vegas playing for the USA Select
team. For the Select team, yeah. They're on the roster, but they won't actually be at Chase Center. Yeah, that is a little bit of a letdown.
They'll be in Vegas, but they won't be at Chase today.
No, and I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess there might be like an outside chance they play on Wednesday, but I have to imagine they're also just probably going to stick around in Vegas because that's where Summer League actually is.
Right. No, they're in no rush to get back to Chase to play. I mean, think of the opportunity in front of them in Vegas. They're playing against the best players in the country. That's a great showcase for them to see where they're at, a barometer as they're going up against some of these premier guys, and also just honing their game and getting game off the court from these pros. It's going to be cool to see that thing play out. Obviously, Steve Kerr is there with them, so I can't wait. Evan, did you see all the videos on Instagram that Team USA was posting yesterday of the players arriving?
Yes.
There were some cool content. LeBron and Steph Curry embrace was really cool. LeBron said it's about damn time. Talking about them finally being on the same team together.
Yeah.
That was really cool. It was cool seeing Embiid and Steph Curry embrace, and Steph Curry saying trust the process. That was funny.
Walked in like, hey, yo, process.
Yeah, process. So if you guys are listening, go check that out on Team USA's official Instagram page. Some really cool content.
I thought it was cool too, like, because Curry is, you know, a lot smaller than all these dudes. I mean, it's one of the reasons why he's so special is that he's able to just live and thrive among the trees. But everyone also just has this, like, you can see it on their face, and that's why the video was so cool to me, is like, there's just this understood reverence for the chef. Like, there's this understood, you know, it's almost like watching those old videos and you could see someone like Steph Curry or Klay Thompson walking up to Kobe at an All-Star game, you know, walking up to Tim Duncan at an All-Star game. Like, Steph's an OG now. Like, Steph's one of the, you know, he's one of the elder statesmen. And Bron is obviously the oldest one there. KD is the same age. But, you know, Embiid walking up to him. Some of the younger players coming through. Tatum, Brant. Like, these guys are looking at Steph Curry like, all right, you know, it's like, it's go time now. We got the squad together, and it's an all-time roster. So I hope they're able to get it done. I think they will be. But the fact that they can kind of, construct this entire Team USA, and Curry feels like it's his first time playing the Olympics.
Yeah, this is.
But he kind of feels like the leader in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's his first or 10th time. Any team with Steph Curry, people are going to be looking to him. I would say the leaders are Steph, LeBron, and KD.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the three. Those are probably those are the three other statesmen. This is probably the last dance per se. I don't want to say last dance because I think Steph, KD, and Bron all have like one more lap to like really be superstars in the NBA too, obviously. And when I say lap, I should say one more mile. So they have about three laps.
Last Olympic team for sure, though.
Yeah, last Olympic team. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I admittingly am not a huge Olympic guy. I just never really into it. I know everybody's been talking about the track and some of these other things I see on Twitter. It's never been much of Olympic sports have never been that interesting.
Like the non-Summer Olympics
all summer and winter.
Yeah.
Like I know a lot of people are into the sprinting and track and field and some of the other events. I just never got into them, but basketball, I'm into it. Like I love watching Olympic basketball. I love seeing the best of the best compete, and it's going to be interesting. Now, one piece of video I didn't see, Ev, our wish list. The recruiting doesn't look good so far. I didn't see Steph talk to Kawhi or Devin Booker. None of that was on video. Steph,
that's a good point.
You were supposed to be recruiting Devin Booker to come to San Francisco and be your Robin.
Yeah, quit talking to KD, all right? Get on his boy.
Yeah. It's so funny, too. I did see a picture of Kawhi showing up. Like, everybody is, like, all jubilant, hugging. Kawhi is literally, like, doesn't say a word to anybody. He probably didn't even let people know he was there. He probably just went right up to his room, checked in.
I wouldn't have taken it for the small roller bag, too. Like, he just kind of just walks in unsuspectingly, you know, doesn't even say what's up, just kind of, like, mutters almost to himself, and then just, yeah, hangs a right, goes straight to the 17th floor, kicks it, and just like, all right, when's the meeting?
A really funny story with Kawhi, just while we're on it, and we got 3 hours, so I'll tell it. I was told that, so when Kawhi commits to San Diego State pretty early, too, in relation to when kids most usually commit. After he commits, he just continues to get way better. And obviously, so it's San Diego State. Good basketball program, don't get me wrong, but there's also UCLA, USC right there.
There hadn't been a ton of NBA players to come out of.
Right.
Or big athletes in general.
Right. So he commits, continues to get better, and you know Kawhi, just communication isn't priority to him. I mean, you can just tell by looking at him, he's probably not a huge texter. Probably not going to be breaking down your door to call you to get on the phone. So the staff at San Diego State started getting a little nervous because he's blowing up on the court and they have a verbal from him and they're just like, I hope he doesn't get flipped. I hope he doesn't get flipped. We can't even get in touch with him. It got to the summer to when he was supposed to get up there and start summer classes and they still hadn't heard from him. They heard from him for the first time when he arrived on campus for summer classes.
That sounds exactly
they
like
had
Kawhi.
No idea if Kawhi was going to even come. He gets there, has a great career, but it was just funny because they said the coaching staff was so nervous. They're like, we lost this kid. We can't even get him on the phone.
That's ridiculous. Well, while we're on that aside, I don't know if you read this story, but Kawhi, because of like the myth of Kawhi, and no one really knows a ton about him, there's all these stories that have leaked out from his time at San Diego State. And one of them was, again, along the lines of not being a clear or just communicator in general. So his apartment complex on campus was right next to a basketball court. So he could go play pickup if he wanted to, could be outside, all the rest. Kawhi only did basically two things in the apartment, and he ran the apartment. Either you're playing 2K on the TV, or he was watching Martin reruns. And that was the only thing that was allowed on the TV. And the only way that you could get him to either change the channel from Martin or to get off of video games was to beat him in a game of 2K or to go outside and beat him in a game of one-on-one.
Oh, gosh.
And allegedly, he never lost it either. So Martin was the only thing that was ever on in their apartment because he loves Martin reruns, and that's the only show that he would ever watch.
Right.
So it's like those kind of stories just leak out because no one really knows too much about him, but he's evidently like just a simple man, and he'll be there when he's there. Like
he's never been on anybody's podcast.
Nope.
Yo, it's funny. And
you rarely hear from him, even at the podium, he's short.
So, and it's going to be a humble brag right now. So, Kawhi was at the Niners game. I think it wasn't this past season. It was the season before last. It was the year the Niners got absolutely blown out by the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game. I had to get that in there.
2 years ago.
But Kawhi was at a 49ers game. I see him standing by the end zone, his pregame. You know how everybody kind of moseys around pregame down there on the field. I see him. He's with his boy. And he kind of comes up next to me naturally. He's just watching. I say, yo, what's up, Kawhi? We start kind of having small talk. I know he's a reserved guy, so I'm not sure how he's going to take to me talking to him. But I had kind of an in because of Keshad Johnson, who is playing for Miami Heat today. At the time, Keshad was a senior at San Diego State University. I said to him, I said, hey, number zero on San Diego State, I've become really close with him, a good kid. Have you watched him play? He was like, zero. He was like, the Johnson kid. I was like, yeah, I'm close to him. Like, he's good. And Keshad was like, oh, yeah, he's a good player. So we started talking about San Diego State basketball because at that point, I had gone down to San Diego State to watch Keshad play at least 3 or 4 times. So we're talking about a couple players. And then I was just like, well, what are you doing in the Bay Area? He was like, oh, just came up. Because, you know, I have some business up here. But shout out to Whitley.
Whitley Sandretto, yeah.
Yeah, our
Social director.
She does it all for us here at 95.7 The Game. She snagged a picture of me and Kawhi talking, and she just so happened to snag a picture of Kawhi cracking up and me laughing as I'm talking to him.
So you got him to laugh.
Yeah, so I got so many people in my inbox and texting me like, what did you say to Kawhi Leonard to have him laughing so hard? He never laughs, and I'm sure I could find a picture on my Twitter if I just like search my thing and type in Kawhi. But it was just hilarious. And
Laugh sound like everybody else knows Kawhi's laugh?
Yep, that deep laugh. Oh yeah, here's video. I'm going to retweet. If you're listening, I'm retweeting it right now. yeah, it was really funny. The video is actually on the 95.7 The Game account. So yeah, Kawhi is an interesting cat. And let me ask you this, Ev. Who do you think is going to start for Team USA? Steve Kerr has some decisions. I mean, like,
he does. I mean, so the thing is almost like, I feel like in a lot of these cases, probably seniority, right?
Right.
Because I mean, the level of play is pretty even.
Yeah.
I mean, Curry, Bron, KD, and then two more spots left. Probably AD over Adebayo, and then that fifth, Tatum.
So Tatum, AD, Bam,
Curry, KD, LeBron, AD, Tatum.
Oh, okay. So I would go, I mean, like you said, splitting hairs, like every lineup they'll have every combination.
It'll be the best lineup in the world.
It's like a death lineup, and if they lose, they should be ashamed. But I'll go KD, Steph, Bron. I think those are three locks based on their stature, obviously, in basketball. And then I will go Joel Embiid.
Oh, that's right.
They were recruiting him very, very hard. They probably told him.
That's a good point. Yeah, he's probably starting over.
Yeah, they're probably. I mean, I think he should, too. Like, I think he's better than AD.
AD, yeah.
So that leaves a four. Probably Tatum. So, yeah, Bron and Embiid in the front court. Tatum at the three. It doesn't really matter. Tatum or KD, whoever you want to call the three there. Two. I could also see Devin Booker starting. Devin Booker's really good.
Him or Ant?
Yeah, Ant too.
Well, Kerr doesn't like Ant.
Remember the story when Kerr was like...
in the draft process, right?
Well, that's a funny story too. But I'm talking about Team USA last summer when Ant was like, why not start it? And he was like, Dwayne Wade came off the bench because of Kobe. And... Ant said, well, there ain't no Kobe's here.
We don't have no Kobe.
We don't have no Kobe. Coach, like, I could get behind the logic with D-Wade and Kobe, but there ain't no Kobe's here. That I can literally hear Ant saying that to Steve Kerr.
Yeah. Sorry, coach. I don't see him.
Yeah, like, there's no Kobe's here. I'm looking down the bench. I mean, we got Tyrese Halliburton. We got
it was funny. Well, like,
Brunson.
So when we're talking about players playing and who's not, I God love him. The guy that is getting no burn on this team is Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, man. I mean, there was a viral tweet that was even making fun of him. Like, look at Tyrese Halliburton coming up and just ruining the moment. It was a video of, like, KD, Steph, and Bron, like, all talking, and Tyrese Halliburton, like, comes up to the group and, like, starts talking, too. And it was like, one person doesn't belong. But, yeah, poor Tyrese. That's another guy. He's a great dude.
Tyrese is the third point guard behind Steph and Drew.
He was a... Tyrese Halliburton is good friends with the golden child in the Bay Area right now, Brock Purdy.
Iowa State.
They were at Iowa State together, and I remember 2 years ago, again, when Brock was making that historic run, first got to start, what's-his-name came out. Halliburton came out and was very vocal in supporting him, and he got asked a bunch of questions when they came to the Bay Area and played. So, yeah, shout out Tyrese Halliburton. He's a huge Brock Purdy guy. Team USA should win this tournament. There'll be one or two, like, kind of close-ish games. Like, just like the last Olympics when it got close, I think, with... Who is this? Is it Spain?
Spain.
Where the Gasol brothers play?
Yeah. The Gasol brothers, they also had Rubio.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple other like actual NBA players.
Serge Ibaka.
I mean, Slovenia is pretty good. Yeah. Doncic is there. You know, there's some good teams, but obviously the roster talent lies with Team USA.
Shoot, Canada has a good roster. But yeah, we'll...
No Wiggins.
No Wiggins. That's a whole nother thing. We will get to all of that on the other side. We will continue to talk about this California Classic. We will also break down the state of the Warriors as it so happens right now. How's Mike Dunleavy doing in this offseason? All that and more. I'm Jason Dumas. That's Evan Giddings, 95.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Seven the game Saturdays. We'll be right back.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Right back here, 95.7 The Game Saturdays. Evan Giddings, Jason Dumas. We are breaking down Team USA hoops, Golden State Warriors basketball, California Classic on this beautiful Saturday. I think it's going to be nice and lively at Chase Center this afternoon. Ev, I'm going to walk right over. It's going to be a nice little walk, but I'm going to walk right over once we get off the air around noon. Let me ask you this. Who are you most excited to see hoop today?
That's a good question. I mean, I think, honestly, well, if I'm looking at the Warriors roster right now, you know, Pods and TJD are out in Vegas. And so, you know, I feel like these kind of showcases are, like you mentioned, looking at a McDonald's All-American roster and high school players, so someone just pops.
Yeah, obvious, like, oh, he's just so much better than everyone out here on the court.
That's what I feel like these showcases are for. Like, all these players are trying to be professionals. They're all obviously extremely talented, but, like, who's going to pop? So as far as, like, a player, you know, I'm curious to see how Gui Santos' game is coming along. You know, someone like Pat Spencer, who came out at the tail end of last year for the Warriors, and I'm curious to see how he's doing. But then in general, like, I wish I could go. I have a broadcast later at 2 o'clock, so I won't be able to make it by tip. But, like, what I would basically just do is actually just don't give me a roster up until, I don't know, maybe the end of the first quarter, halftime. I just want to watch, survey, and see who pops. Right. And then let me start learning about that player, because gotcha. I just want someone to jump off the screen.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, all these, it's what I learned. I always knew it, but I got to see it firsthand this year and actually genuinely appreciate it. But it doesn't matter what level you're in, whether it's the NBA or the G League. These guys are so good.
Yes.
Like, got a front seat to about 30 G League games this year. And these guys who are just fighting tooth and nail for an NBA call-up are so talented. Like, for instance, shout out Kendrick Davis. There's so many guys I could shout out, but if you follow the Warriors close, you might know this name. Kendrick Davis, he was on the Warriors Summer League team last year, and he played for the Santa Cruz Warriors this entire year. I think he was first team all rookie in the G League or whatever. I don't know the exact accolades he received, but really, really good. I know Chris Paul took him under his wing. Really good. And he's a guy who I'm not sure will ever stick and get a legit NBA shot and be on a roster. And I watched this kid play, and he's like one of the most talented point guards I've ever gotten to watch in person. He's a little undersized, but like, he's just an example. He's on the Portland Trailblazers Summer League roster. I just looked up, because when I saw he wasn't on the Golden State Warriors roster when it came out, I was like, where the hell is Kendrick playing? But he's playing in Portland. But my long-winded point is this. All those guys can play. So everybody you're going to see today at Chase Center at the California Classic is extremely talented. Another guy really, really good. He plays on the Miami Heat. Cole Swider. He's a guy who I will stick in the NBA at some point. He just needs his opportunity, but he shoots the ball at a high level. He plays on the Miami Heat right now, so we'll see him.
What college did he go to, Jay?
It's right on my head. He went to Syracuse University. He actually started at Villanova, which Villanova, their campus is 5 minutes away from my parents' house and where I grew up. And then he went to Syracuse. So I've been watching Cole. I've actually been watching Cole since he was in high school. Cause like I said, I'm into the high school recruiting scene. And I remember Syracuse was recruiting him heavy when he was in high school. So I was like, oh, let me lock in on this guy. He played from Rhode Island, played in one of these big time high school conferences for prep schools. And, obviously made his way to Nova, then to Syracuse. And he was on the Lakers for his like first year in NBA, then got traded to the Heat. So he'll be playing. He's another good player. I'm really excited to see this two-way kid from Virginia, who the Warriors drafted, or they didn't draft. They
signed Risa Meekman. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a guy who I haven't watched much of, which is surprising because I watch ACC basketball because that's my alma mater's conference now, which is kind of gross. So I miss the old Big East, but I haven't seen Reese Beekman play, so I'm looking forward to that. Pat Spencer, he's a guy who the Warriors had him on a two-way. I assume he'll be on a two-way next year with the Warriors.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think you can be on a two-way 2 years in a row, but I don't think last year counted for him because he got brought up
late. At the very end of the year.
Late in the season. So I don't know all these damn rules. I probably should be more heady about them, but I think Pat Spencer will be around with the Warriors next year, which is very exciting because Pat Spencer, really, really good. And his story is crazy because he didn't play college basketball until his fifth year in college. He's like the best lacrosse player of all time.
Yeah.
That's not even hyperbole.
Must be nice.
It's like he's just really, really good at lacrosse. So his story is amazing. Super competitive guy. He was the guy, like he was the guy Santa Cruz Warriors PR would be like, so I had to do a sideline interview and a walk-off interview even after a loss, which is unique because a lot of teams don't do the interviews after losses.
They won't send players.
Right. Yeah. So they still, I remember my first game, I was like, oh, even after a loss, I talked to a player walking off, and they're like, yeah.
What happened today, bud?
And exactly. It's kind of awkward, but it makes you better at your job. You got to ask a question that won't send them off. Because you know they're walking off the court really frustrated. So just the way you phrase your questions, you got to be a little more careful. But the PR don't talk to Pat. Don't talk to Pat after a loss because he is hot. That guy runs hot. Not in a bad way. He's just super competitive. And so he was always the guy. I see them walking off at the loss. I was like, let me skip Pat. Let me skip Pat. So looking forward to seeing him play. And really, you know, just a bunch of guys on this roster. As for the senior team, the actual Golden State Warriors.
Well, quickly before, I do think that because of Miami's developmental program, like number one, Shad Johnson is in a great place. Mm-hmm. Shout out San Leandro. But the other guy that I'm curious to see, just because he was the quote, like heir apparent to Trayce Jackson-Davis, would be Khalil Ware, the center from Indiana. So that's somebody that I would want to watch on Miami, who the Warriors are going to play today at 3:30. Also, I know he's flown under the radar just because he's older and he's a late addition, but Kevin Knox is on the summer league squad for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. So if he's out there today, I would like to see him.
He's hurt. He won't be playing. He might play for them in Vegas, maybe, but I know he's not playing at the California Classic. But yes, you're right. He's on that roster. The guy was he was a lottery pick, no?
Kevin Knox?
Yes,
he was.
Yeah, like he was highly, highly regarded. He went to Kentucky, right?
Yep.
Yeah, went to Kentucky, highly regarded.
He was a one and done.
Yeah, he just never really found his place in the NBA, which is a shame.
I mean, it happens to a lot of guys. Yeah. It's probably going to happen to a lot of players on these teams, and that's why, you know, like 90% of these players are not going to become something that we'll remember and say, oh, I remember, you know. Like, you go back and watch those old clips of, you know, Steph Curry or Klay Thompson in summer league. Like, it's not going to be that. But at the same time, you might see a player that will resurface later. And that could be, I don't know, an asset to a particular team. It's obviously nobody like the 12 on the senior team on actual Team USA, but.
Oh, yeah. Now, look, talking about senior teams, let's get to the Warriors. We've been yapping all week about Lauri Markkanen, Paul George, Brandon Ingram. The list goes on. Who can Mike Dunleavy add? But as it stands right now, let's just pretend the Warriors are done making moves. I know that's not the hope for most people, but let's pretend it's done. Realistically speaking, everything goes right, but staying realistic, how good do you think this roster can be?
I think they can be just as good as they were last year. Now, which that's is not saying much.
That's not music to anybody's ear. They didn't play a single playoff game.
No, but again, I think it was a really tough year for the West, and we kind of got into this yesterday. I do not think the West is going to be as good as it was last year. You know, for example, in the East, the Warriors would have been an 8 seed. You know, and that's also not writing home about much, but. You know, to look at the team right now and say, hey, like, I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you, Jason, and say I'm looking at this roster right now. I think they can win 50 games. Like, I just don't.
Right.
But I do think it's very possible that they could still win 45 or 46 games, which if other teams ahead of them take steps back, then that might be good enough to get you to a 7 or 8, which gives you a better chance at a play-in and to get into the postseason. That's the reason why I don't think they're done, because I also don't think that the Warriors are looking at this roster right now. And now with the addition of Buddy Hield, they're above the tax line. So I also don't think that Joe Lacob and this front office would go back into the tax
right
for a team that they don't believe can be a postseason contender, or can he at least get to the playoffs?
Right. So he's in the tax right now.
Yeah, they're $5 or $6 million over the luxury tax line. They are just below the first apron line, so they still have, you know, full access to everything, and they'll be able to, you know, have more flexibility than obviously they did last year as a second apron team, but they still are in the tax. And remember, that was an emphasis, you know, plan A or 1A from Joe Lacob to get out of that tax. And actually, I thought that they might have been done before they acquired Buddy Hield, because that had them just below the luxury tax with room to add a veteran min. So that's why, again, I still think that things are in motion. I don't think it's going to be for a big name player, but I do think they're going to try and find a way to shed a little more salary, either to get out of the tax, or if they're going to stay in the tax, it's because they're actually trying to acquire a big name player.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just don't know who that big name player is. And obviously, it's easier said than done. For a multitude of reasons that we've talked about so many times. I think first and foremost, at the core, it's just hard to get good players, because why would a team want to give up a good player, just fundamentally speaking? Then there's the fact that the Golden State Warriors have had a belt to the butts of every team in the NBA for the last decade. No one is in a rush to make Golden State better. It might not be something someone says out loud. It might not even be something that people are doing firsthand. But subconsciously, that is definitely something. You have seen this team dominate 4 titles within 10 years. You don't want to see them continue to win. So no one's going to just help Golden State. So Mike Dunleavy definitely has his hands full. But I'll tell you this. I'm a believer in Mike Dunleavy. I really am. I know it's easy to criticize the guy when things don't go right. A lot of you guys are emotionally attached to Klay Thompson, which isn't a bad thing. It's not an insult, me saying that you're emotionally attached to Klay Thompson. But it just puts Mike Dunleavy in a no-win situation to a lot of these fans. You know, like, a lot of people are just going to be like, he got rid of Klay Thompson. He sucks. I hate Mike Dunleavy. I don't see it that way. I think Mike Dunleavy is going to be great, because he comes from a basketball family that knows the business. Mike Dunleavy played a long, fruitful, I guess fruitful is relative and can be debated, but he played a long career, trades, cuts, this team, that team. He knows the business. and his heart has probably grown cold. He was probably the best man for the job to not retain Klay Thompson. He was probably like, look, it happens. This is a business, Klay. I'm sorry. You need a guy like that making decisions. Bob Myers was not that guy. That's probably why Bob Myers left. Now, I am not saying Mike Dunleavy is a better GM than Bob Myers. I'm just saying when it's time for change, you need a guy who's cold-hearted. His dad was cold-hearted. Mike Dunleavy's pops was cold-hearted. You know, so it is what it is. I believe in Mike Dunleavy. And it's, oh, I thought we had someone on the call line. We don't. Anyway, back to my point. Mike Dunleavy is one of these guys who can get you out of the storm. I'm talking myself into him in live time. But I think LeBron, or I think Mike, can really get this thing going. And the trade that the Warriors are looking for is going to be a name that we did not think of. It will be a name that we did not think of. It's not going to be Lauri Markkanen. Whenever everybody is talking about one player, and we do got someone on the call line, I'm going to get to him in 1 second. Let me just finish this point. Mike Dunleavy, he's going to get somebody. I have a feeling it's just going to be someone we haven't heard of. Now, we got our guy, Fillmore Mike. He's on line one. Fillmore, you got to talk about Dunleavy. What's up, brother?
Hello.
What's up, bro?
What's up with it, Jason, man? You know, I have to call in support a fellow black man on the radio, man.
Appreciate that.
Looking
yes.
Sharp in TV. I've been seeing you scooting around. You was scooting around. No, you ain't got the limp no more. You was scooting around in your little thing.
That's yeah. All up. I'm hey, off the scooter now. I'm off the scooter. What's how you feeling?
Scooter?
Yeah, I just got the boot. I just got the boot.
Got you.
How you feel about Mike Dunleavy, man? I'm talking him up. I got this feeling you're about to tell me I'm crazy.
No, Mike Dunleavy was a horrible Warrior. it's all love, but I do believe in him as a GM. Quick story about Mike Dunleavy. The biggest ovation Mike Dunleavy got was when, from what I remember, he got kicked out of a game. He was, we just wanted him to show like some fight, some, like he had no emotion. He had just little, he had this look that was just like Beavis and Butthead type look. And he got kicked out of a game. And I swear to God, you would have thought that he hit a game winner. The crowd went crazy and they loved it. That was, I think his biggest ovation at Oracle Arena at the time was when he got kicked out of a game. He showed some emotion. He showed some fight. And yeah, man. And I like the fact that Joe Lacob is kind of tapped in as far as like he kind of knows what the fans want. Nobody has a fan like Mike Dunleavy like that, but he don't care. He knows that he has a great basketball mind. And so like he, like you just said, he knows the business. His dad knows the business. He's been in around basketball his whole life. So I put my trust in Joe Lacob, man. Joey Lightyears.
Yeah, I agree with you. Filmo Mike, appreciate you, man, as always. Loyal listener, loyal watcher of Cron 4 News. I really appreciate the support from him. And
even knows about the scooter.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You just sometimes you forget you're in a fishbowl and people are watching you. I got to watch myself sometimes. Let me tell you this. Mike Dunleavy was cold at Duke. He was a bad, bad boy at Duke. I thought he was going to be way better in the NBA. I remember watching those Duke teams.
I think he did too.
Yeah, seriously. I think whoever drafted him.
A lot of people did.
I think whoever. Who drafted him? Was it Chris Mullin? Was it Mullin in the
Mullin
front
or
office?
Saint? One of those two guys. I'm not sure.
Yeah, shout out Mully. That's my guy. But Mike Dunleavy, he gets it. Like, he knows. And it seems like he has a really good eye for talent. I mean, he had an amazing first NBA draft. On paper, he hasn't played yet, but I really liked his Quentin Post pick as well. So it seems like he's a great, great talent scout too. The thing is, what he'll be judged on, can he make deals? Because he's a GM, to be a GM, a good GM, you got to be more than just a have a great eye for talent. You got to be able to wheel and deal and make moves. We know Joe Lacob, he's a relationship guy. That was probably his best quality. Just having great relationships, having great respect, and being able to make moves. You got to have Mike Dunleavy doing the same thing. Now, we talked about Lauri Markkanen like all day yesterday, Evan. Do you think we can put that to bed, or do you think it's still a chance?
I mean, there's always a chance, but I think we can pretty much put it to bed. The issue is that we keep hearing these reports leaking out. I think the latest one was from Mark Stein about the Warriors continuing to move in talks with the Jazz about Markkanen. The issue is that, and I think Tony Jones helped us yesterday quite a bit, is the fact that Danny Ainge doesn't have to trade him, and I don't think he wants to trade him. And from all the reports that we're seeing from Markkanen's side, he has no intention of leaving Utah anytime soon, or he doesn't want out. So that's kind of the biggest issue is, you know, he's basically just waiting for somebody to floor him. And I also kind of think that Ainge is, I don't know if, what you'll give me for this. I think Ainge is kind of using the Warriors as leverage to see if he can extract some of San Antonio's picks, because those are better picks. Like, he's trying to get those Atlanta picks that they sent over for DeJounte Murray a couple of years back. And those Atlanta picks are looking really, really good right now. So if I'm Ainge, I would probably try and get those over the Warriors. So I think we can kind of put it to bed. I don't think they're done necessarily, but I think the Dunleavy thing is interesting to me, because so far he hasn't made like a fatal mistake. At least I don't think. I mean,
no.
The Draymond Green contract in hindsight is probably not great right now, but that wasn't going to be his first move as GM. His first move as GM was not going to be to tell a member of the Big Three to kick rocks.
Mm-mm.
And essentially, I think the first move
told
that
Clay
he
played to kick rocks.
Well, he did. But I also think that was a little bit of Lacob too. I don't think that was just Mike.
Right.
I think there was just a mutual understanding there.
From a basketball perspective, it made sense. But obviously, you got to look at it more than just a basketball perspective. These guys are humans, and there's an emotional. There's emotional perspective
for sure
when it came to Clay.
But I also don't think that Dunleavy's done anything that would make me distrust him so far. You know, it's just the question is, okay, how much time do you give him, right?
Right.
Because he's hit on a few draft picks, and they haven't been, you know, like great high draft picks. So he's kind of been able to trim the hedges. He's found some diamonds in the rough. Obviously not level players of, you know, Draymond, who is a second round pick, or even Klay Thompson, who is, you know, the 11th overall selection. But Mike Dunleavy also didn't have what Bob Myers had, which was someone like Jerry West, RIP, in his corner and in his ear. So, you know, how much of that draft capital do we kind of attribute to Bob Myers? Do we attribute more to Jerry West? There's the reports that Clay was West's guy, like that was the one that he identified. And to me, like, Myers was able to swing the big deal.
Clay put Jerry West on his tribute post.
Exactly.
Showed they had a good relationship.
That was his guy. But even early in his career as general manager, you know, Myers was able to trade for Andre Iguodala. He was able to get other players here. And then, of course, you know, 2016 speaks for itself. But Myers showed that he was able to go out and swing the big deal. Dunleavy has not shown that yet. And I also think because of that, he is a little hesitant to just make any move. It has to be the right move, because the moment that you make your first big trade, that's what you're going to be known for. I know a lot of people might say, well, Chris Paul, Jordan Poole, but as we've seen, that was more just a salary dumping move. That was a move to get off of a bad contract. This next trade or acquisition, that's going to be the first one that I think we really judge his time as GM on. And so, number one, he has to be careful. Number two, he's got to hit it. Otherwise, we are going to think about Dunleavy the way a lot of people like Fillmore Mike are talking about him as a player, which was just an underwhelming guy.
Yeah, 100%. And now we're talking about, you mentioned you don't think Mike Dunleavy has made a grave mistake. And I agree, not so far. Since I've been covering this team, you know, in the 6 years, I would say the biggest malpractice move the Warriors, and it wasn't a singular move, but it was a situation they botched. drafting Jordan Poole, being able to develop him to the point to where he was a meaningful piece to an NBA championship, building him up that much to losing him and watching him crash and burn and then losing him for nothing, essentially, because you lost him for
$30 million, basically.
So that is just a malpractice. Like, how can you botch a situation? Now, it's not all the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, some other people have to take accountability, even Jordan Poole himself. But it's just like, man, you had something. Like, how much of a better situation are the Warriors in right now if they still have Jordan Poole playing at 2022 level? Like, they are in a totally different position.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
And it's just like, that is part of the reason why you're in this position. So that's been the biggest malpractice from my standpoint for the Golden State Warriors. Like, you had it. You had a lightning rod. You had a fan favorite on the court, off the court. Jordan Poole was that guy. You had people showing up to the arena in swimsuits. Pool party. It was like a marketing dream. How could you botch that?
He's probably the reason that they didn't take LaMelo Ball. Thought about taking LaMelo Ball.
100%. 100%. They saw what they had in Jordan Poole. And that's the thing. Like, that was the greatest story. Because remember, Jordan Poole got sent down to the G League. And people were like, oh, man. Like, it was, what is this guy doing?
That pandemic season was ugly.
Ugly. And then they built him back up. He went down there. He developed. He came back. Got himself paid. And then he just crashed out, really. You know, we saw it in real time.
Saw it on TMZ.
Seriously, that was another low point for the organization. We still never got a real answer. People, I mean, this is kind of an insult at myself too. People just stopped asking. Reporters stopped asking. Did you ever find out how that video got leaked? Like, has anyone ever had to answer to that?
No, and we'll probably never know. Honestly,
I was told, like, hey, I think I heard, like, the company that records those videos is a second. It's a secondary company. It's not like somebody in the Warriors.
No, there's a lot more people that have access to those footages.
It's like a secondhand company that records those. So, in theory, someone on that company probably got that video and sold it to TMZ. I mean, TMZ probably paid them a bag for that footage.
Yeah, but I think on the other side too, we can dig more into, you know, this idea of what Dunleavy is kind of waiting on, because I do think he hasn't made a mistake yet. I don't think he wants to make the big mistake, but is there a move out there that's going to be the right choice? I think that's what he's sorting through right now.
Yeah, we're going to get to that and way more on the other end. 95.7 The Game Saturdays. Joseph, we see you on the line. We're going to get to you after the commercial break. That's Evan Giddies. I'm Jason Dumas. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.